The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This week, we are continuing our conversation, our digging in to who these nine Coruscations are. We went through the first five last time. We have some very interesting things. This is actually split into two volumes. We went through volume one in the original document that in the games, and then we're going into volume two now. And we've got some really weird ones to get through, Lotus. And just like last time, I'm going to be reading through the text. Lotus and I are going to parse, try to understand what this actually says, because there's a lot of gaps in the text on purpose, because there's a lot that we don't know about these characters. But I think we can kind of flesh some things out, and you're going to get that joke in just a minute. Lotus, welcome back. Are you excited to talk more about...
I am. These ones are potentially even more obtuse.
I think it's a good thing that we got through like the bulk of them in the first episode, and now there's really four left, but we've already talked about Athelia on a previous episode. Go check that one out, because she is one of these, which means she's not just a Daedric Prince, she's a Magna Gee. And so to fill you in, if you haven't paid attention or haven't been here, if you've just been putting us on the background but not actually listening, I don't know who does that, these are called the Nine Coruscations. They're also known as Star Orphans. They're also known as Magna Gee. They're also known as Elements, or Children or Daughters of Magnus, who broke off from him when he noped out of the creation of everything, of Mundus, of the Mundus and all that stuff. And these supposedly have something to do with primordial elements in the creation of the world and all of those kinds of things. So if you want to check out the first five, go back, listen to that episode, check that out. But we're going to start with volume two and the very first one. And this one, Lotus, I think this one is, I don't know, this is something very cool about dark and spooky things. You and I like the dark, spooky things.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, there's many references to them, and the series is pretty good with making sure they're always available in one way or another.
Yeah, yeah. So you may recognize Lig. Lig is a phrase that comes up every so often. We're going to go into what that means. But this Star Orphan, their name is Zero Lig with an X. X-E-R-O-L-Y-G. Zero Lig. And here, I'm going to put this up on the screen. I should have done this on the last episode, but we'll put it up on the screen. We're going to read through this, and then Lotus and I are going to parse this and figure it out. This text says, the black star, and then there's always these gaps, there's these spaces. So we're going to say space of flesh. Flesh. We'll get into what that means. The orphan opposite unto the adjacent space and fought alongside Lork within space, alternate worlds unto endless possibilities. Space, king of the dreg, fell to Merun's the razor. Space, was forced to space the next Kelpa. Space, to spiral ever out and see the land and sky preferred to see. Space, she was left to wander beside the serpent, so dark as to not be at all. Carried among unstars, space, Zero Lig cataloged all the events that, space, through time and untime, and there she found paths yet unseen to those among the stars, space, to ask what she saw as she looked within the wheel and the center was gone, space, this is known only, space, and space, why they now bear this burden alone. So as usual, that's a lot to parse. There's a lot of gaps. There's a lot of holes in this, but I think we can pull certain parts out of this. Lotus, do you have some initial thoughts on this? Because I know I've got some thoughts too, but let's
start. I'm actually going to let you start this one off because this one is kind of all over the place.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So let's talk Zero Lig here and the black star. Each of these have a colored star.
Right.
And some of them are unstars, which we've defined as probably planets because they move in the sky in a way that the rest of the stars don't, right? So there's that kind of thing going
right.
on.
They actually have movement as opposed to being frozen where they, well, they're not holes in
right.
the Aetherius. So.
Right. So on the previous one, we had the Cyan Star of Water. And these are, you know, Sheza Rana was the water element. They each have a color star and an element. So we had water, earth. We're not going to go back through all of them. Fire and air. Those are the four elements. But there's a fifth element in Elder Scrolls mythology, at least among certain people in Elder Scrolls mythology. And that is the element of flesh, which... we could do an entire episode on these elements, but flesh is very interesting. In fact, it's actually the sixth element. Light is the fifth element. Flesh is the sixth element. And according to the UASB, Friends of the Show, they help support, they basically are part of your other show, Tales of Tamriel. So also the best wiki for Elder Scrolls stuff. The flesh... On that wiki says, unlike the other five elements, the sixth element of flesh, known as Slen in the dragon language, is said to have been hidden at creation by virtue of its own self-awareness. This connects a lot. I'm not going to read the whole article, but it connects a lot to meat, bone, blood, and breath. And these are elements that are somehow primordial according to the way this all works, right? So just like fire, water, air, like that kind of stuff, right?
Right. The thing I always think of with flesh in this series, because it is really awkward. It's like flesh is an element, but it's like the idea of like... The idea of like someone being alive is an element, the way that fire is a thing,
right,
which is kind of weird as an element type. And it makes me think a lot of the old medieval style of medicine with the four humors.
Yes.
Where it's like, you know, bile, black phlegm. I don't know.
Humors. There's like, I think those were two of them, but absolutely.
But it always makes me think of that, except like, the combination of them makes a literal element of life, which is kind of weird.
Right. Including breath, which I think might be synonymous with something like a soul.
Right.
So there's a soul thing going on here too.
That's what I always thought they were implying as well.
Right. So there's kind of a soul thing going on. Now, it mentions the orphan opposite unto the adjacent space and fought alongside Lork within blank alternate worlds unto endless possibilities. So Lig, let's talk about Lig. Lig is a mysterious place that is or was around at some point. Now, Lig has a very specific kind of interpretation of it being kind of like an opposite Mundus.
Yeah, this is probably where we should bring in the weird analogy of if you have, I believe it was explained, I hope I don't totally ruin this, somebody can totally correct me in the comments if I'm a little off, but it's the idea of if you have a napkin and you put a glass on it,
right,
and it leaves a ring stain where the cup is,
right,
and then you take that napkin, now you can see what the other side is. That's Lig.
So it's like this opposite kind of mirror version of reality. It's not a separate kelpa, although it may exist in a previous kelpa. It is not the kelpa itself. And a kelpa, if you aren't familiar with that term, think of all of reality going through a cycle of creation, existence, destruction, and then rebirth, right? Every time that cycle happens, that's a kelpa.
Yeah.
So Lig
isn't... We went into that in the Alduin episode because we might have screwed up a Kalpa by defeating Alduin.
Right. So there clearly are previous Kalpas, or at least it's heavily implied. Some of these godlike beings have actually found ways to continue existing and moving between Kalpas, or they just get remade every creation. Something like that happens, right? But Lig isn't like saying, oh, it's the Kalpa before. It's kind of an alternate, like, negative version of think matter, antimatter, or something like that, right? So
I guess also, if we're going to go into, like, because I'm trying to think of the best way, because this is a disaster to try to explain.
It's very ambiguous, yeah.
It is. It's almost, if you've seen the show Stranger Things, like, with the Upside Down.
Yes.
That type of thing. I just know that's probably resonates where a lot of people have seen that. That's another, like, yeah, which I think one. Is a D&D thing. I'm not.
Yes.
Almost positive it's a D&D
pulling,
thing.
They're pulling from a lot of D&D stuff.
That's another idea to it, at least how I've always understood it.
Right. So think of it like that. Now, on top of this, Zero Lig has Lig in her name. We've talked about Daedric Princes before. Their realms of oblivion are actually part of themselves. So to assume that Lig, the place, is actually part of Zero Lig themselves might be true. That might be possible. So there's something going on there. Lig and Lork fought alongside each other. That's Lorkhan, right? The everybody knows who Lorkhan is. If you don't, go back and listen to that episode. We won't go into that. But it seems like there was some sort of issue here where in Lig, the king of Dreg, are the predominant species. Or at least that's one of the things that's considered a possibility. And they fell to Mehrunes the Razor, was forced to blank the next Kalpa. So it sounds like Lig has already finished their Kalpa and moved on. But the current version of the Mundus that we are in hasn't. It's been like delayed and continued. And so Lig has in some ways disappeared. So it says here, she was left to wander beside the serpent, so dark as to not be at all. The serpent is a constellation in the sky. It's a constellation of unstars that move through the sky. It has other representations we won't go into here, but this idea that Zero Lig was a primordial force for the existence of flesh, the existence of like beings, individuals and beings and souls in reality. And they were strongly tied to Lig, and then Lig finished the Kalpa, and now they have no place left. They're kind of diminished, or at least invisible from what they normally would be.
Yeah.
Yikes. So maybe it's something like that, right? Like, and as I said on the previous episode, there is no definitive interpretation of this. This is all the information we have. So every interpretation is as valid as any other interpretation. So if you have some ideas, please comment. Let us know your thoughts on this.
Right, I was going to say, it's really just us making our case with this one much more you, because I was this one I was a little like I've got a couple bullet point ideas, but beyond that the whole overarching thing is much more on you for this one. But it's like, again, it's so limited on what we have with these. It's just how well can you explain why you think what you think, and that's pretty much as can go with at the moment for definitive answers.
Right. So this other part talks about carried among Unstar, Zero Lig cataloged all the events that blank through time and untime, and there she found paths yet unseen to those among the stars. So it's like she's trying to find her way I don't know, into this other reality, or at least cataloging all these possibilities, to ask what she saw as she looked within the wheel and the center was gone. Okay, the wheel and spokes that's the Oribus, right? This idea of the Aedra, who are the foundations for existence and reality, and the Daedra, who are not our ancestors, according to the High Elves, who are kind of in between the spokes, and this is kind of the formation of everything. And then if you look at the wheel as a whole, you've got Oblivion on the outside, and the very far outside, you have Aetherius. In the center, you have Mundus. You have reality, like physical reality, where Tamriel is part of, as a continent in there, and everybody, all the mortals live, right? So when Lig looks at the wheel, the center is gone, which is disturbing.
It is, because it's basically like you're seeing outside reality.
Right, but also, if how does the Oribus exist without Mundus at the center? What does that even mean?
I know, it's like one of those situations of the idea of trying to prove a negative.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah. I can't, it's harder to, like, what do you prove something doesn't exist? You need something to exist to then show it. So it's like this weird thing of like, well, how do you have all the things around it, but then the idea of creation itself is missing?
Like, yeah. So it's, and at the end here, it says, this is known only blank and blank. I'm guessing this says to so-and-so and so-and-so. So I would guess known only to Lorcan and Akatosh. I don't know. Lorcan's not around anymore, or at least not in the same form as originally.
Not in the traditional sense.
Not in the traditional sense. Maybe it was mantled by Tiber Septim. Who knows? Talos. But like there's all these possibilities. But why they now bear this burden alone? This is like, it's only known to maybe two individuals, it seems. And they now bear this burden. They're the only ones who know that this is maybe the way things end. I don't know. It's implying something, but it doesn't seem obvious to me. But it does reference through time and untime. So all of these possibilities, if you think about Athelia, all of these paths, these potential realities.
Yeah, that's a big one. Is for anybody who's played the Elder Scrolls Online, with the reveal of Athelia and how they work, it gets real weird because it's, you're seeing multiple versions of Athelia, and in fact, they refer to her as having multiple Athelias, but they're all there, and like, they seem to know of each other's existence, but at the same time, they exist in different planes,
different potential realities. It's like a multiverse thing, which is very common in movies and literature and stuff today.
Sure.
But like with Elder Scrolls, like this lore, some of this lore goes way back. It seems like there's some sort of connection there between Zero Lig and Athelia and seeing all these potentials
That's the biggest thing that I gleaned out of this was the fact that there seems like a pretty strong tie with the multiple paths to what we were given over the past 2 years of Elder Scrolls Online, involving Athelia being this missing Daedric Prince we didn't know about. And as you do the story without overtly just going into spoilers, I mean, so a lot of this is sort of spoilery to what it is, but without overtly trying to spoil stuff, it's trying to basically keep her in a version that works with the universe a lot of the time.
Right, that doesn't just put things back at a chaotic state and destroy reality. So all right, so that's the first one. That's Zero Lig. Let's talk about
nice and easy intro.
That's probably the most dense one. The next one should be relatively simple because you've probably heard of this one before. Interesting. Merid Nunda. What does that sound like? Merid Nunda. Here, I'll read it. The Red Star, Harbinger of Dawn, second daughter of blank, probably Magnus, but I don't know why that's missing. She is the light of blank, who bore witness to the crucible of creation, blank, refraction within reason, blank, goddess who holds, in parentheses, blank.
I love how it's parentheses, dot, dot, dot.
Right. Like, what does that even mean?
Why is that there?
Free will is to be surrendered to passion. Destiny is blank. Destiny is fulfilled for the vessel, blank, radiant in times of blank, blinding the dragon and bending his form, blank, mirror and the lie, blank, revealing purity in chaos with fervor, blank, that false life might be abolished, blank, with the fire of new light may the Mundus be reforged. All right, so Merid Nunda?
Yeah.
Is Meridia.
If you haven't already gotten there, this is, it seems like this one's pretty cut and dry as Meridia, especially with all of our ~blanks.
So remind people about Meridia. Dot blank. Yeah, remind people about Meridia, and because again, we've gone over all the Daedric Princes. Go back, check that episode if you really want a deep dive into that. But real quick,
yes,
I know you've got some specific feelings about Meridia.
So yes, I think Meridia is often portrayed as a good Daedra in the series.
It's
helpful. Yeah. Light and you know the colored rooms again refracting light. Can't stand the undead, so a lot of times when you're dealing with the undead, her weapons and power is really beneficial to you.
Right. Quote right on this thing.
Yeah.
That false life might be abolished.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. Like no undead. You're dead or you're alive. Those are your things. But
you have a sense that she's malicious.
Yes, Meridia, much like Daedric Princes, has much more nuanced stuff going on back there. And when it comes to Meridia, the biggest thing, which they actually have a little bit of reference here, destiny is fulfilled for the vessel, revealing purity in the chaos with fervor, stuff like that. Probably the biggest one, free will is to be surrendered to passion.
Yes.
When it comes to Meridia, the idea of free will does not matter. You will do what she says for what she wants. Like, no, you have to kill the undead. There are no exceptions. You will literally do this. And if you try to not do this, I will remove your free will and you will still do this.
Yeah,
and
or you will cease to exist.
Or you will cease to exist in the process. Right. It's very much a, yes, we align with a lot of Meridia oftentimes, but it seems like a situation where it's only convenient that we're benefiting more so than it's like an intentional she's trying to help us. We just happen to also hate the same thing, as weird as it is.
Right. It's like she has, so what I'm gathering even more from this description is that she has in her mind the way the world, the perfect version of the world needs to be according to her. And that does not include free will. That means that, you know, radiant in times of blank, blinding the dragon and bending his form, that she is actively trying to manipulate the way time works.
Yes.
Like the dragon being Akatosh and the flow of time and the nature of reality, all of those kinds of things are all very connected.
If those things were to ever lead in a direction that Meridia was not okay with, it's like, no, we're correcting this. We are doing this way.
Right.
Which is really not a thing where it's like, well, that doesn't sound good. That just sounds like you, like I said, you kind of hate the same things. Well, okay, I hate the undead in this scenario, but it's like, well, okay, but if I'm a necromancer, not necessarily. So it's just like, she's almost like, what's the, the D&D term, chaotic good or something like that.
Maybe, yeah, she might.
But good in the sense of light in her situation.
Right.
If you assume necromancy, because it's generally considered necromancy, is bad.
Yes.
There are no rules in which to get rid of this. Like, you do whatever means necessary.
Right. It's part of her remaking reality. Like the line here at the end, with the fire of new light, may the Mundus be reforged.
Right.
So it's like she's against very specific things. And though the Mundus is in the situation it's in right now, she kind of does what she can. But she's also trying to change it as much as possible and potentially reforge it or destroy it in a way where it can be reforged and made into something the way that she would want it to be.
Exactly. And the idea of this like chaotic aspect, revealing purity in chaos with fervor. It's like, no, there are no rules. You do this. It doesn't matter how you, basically any means justify the ends of her situation.
Right. So there's another connection here. We know that some of the Star Orphans, including Zero Lig and maybe Merid Nunda, created Mehrunes Dagon in Lig, in the bowels of Lig, in order to bring about the end of Kelpas, in order to bring reality to its end, in order to bring about a new reality. This is very similar to the concept in Hinduism of Brahma, Vishnu, or Vishnu and Siva.
I think that's Shiva correct.
It's spelled like Shiva, S-H-I-V-A, yeah, but it's pronounced Siva.
Yeah, it's not pronounced that way. Yeah.
And Meridia gives me very strong Siva feelings, like the sense of like, the end is the beginning of a new beginning, right? Like this idea and, that like everything needs to come to an end so we can make it new again.
Yes. And it's like, if I, again, we make references to a bunch of the Daedric Prince episodes, just if you want to go into deep dives on some of these that we've covered, that's one of the, I feel one of the least explored aspects in the game overtly with Mirin's Dagon. It, yeah, okay, it's all about destroying everything, but with the purpose of it giving the, like, when you burn something down, the ash helps feed the soil to grow something new.
Right.
That's basically the idea. But it's like, okay, I'm just going to blow everything up so that way we can grow it all over again. Yeah. It's like,
he's a mass fertilizer.
He is. Yes, he is a giant, he's a giant red forearm.
He's just going to take a big dump on everything and it's going to grow better.
Beautiful.
Oh man, can you imagine a big red Mehrin's
Dagon? Yep, I was going to say the Dagon supporters are most displeased right now.
Do you think the dump still has four arms?
Probably.
Okay, so all right, so that's Meridia, and if you want more about Meridia the Daedric Prince, go check that out. But I think that there's probably some things in here that really coincide with some of the things that you've been talking about for years now about, like, she's up to no good.
I know, I keep waiting for that to kind of come to fulfillment, and it has not yet, so
could be a cool Elder Scrolls 6 plot line.
Whatever, I just I got my eye on Meridia. I don't trust it. Yep. Don't trust it at all.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so we got one more here. Let's talk about, again, I said there's three instead of four. The last one's Athelia, which we already talked about. But here we go. We've got Ayana Lore. I think that's how you pronounce it. The Violet Star, the Soul Matron, the Light of Blank, becoming Magicka interspersed among Blank. She sits upon a throne, Blank, and scatters the souls of mortals along innumerable roads. Through this, Blank, fate has a chance to be born, as decided by the Prime Archon, first daughter of Magnus. That's Athelia. Ayana Lore rescues souls, Blank, and no destination. Their energy is Blank, Magicka required, Blank, of the Oribus. She is the silent mother, the star capable of truly dispassionate love. What is necessary will be as decreed by Blank, and by her will the discs continue to whirl. So what do you think about that one, Lotus?
That one's, again, getting a little weird.
A little weird.
A little less concrete with that one. So this one, it's weird because there's a few specific things that I find interesting, but I don't have a solid connection to a lot of them. So the concept of a soul matron and the silent mother are just, like, to me, that's very, it's really interesting because I wonder how much that ties into my first thoughts. Just indulge me for this. Sure. My thoughts to this is, when we think of the way that, like, the Dark Brotherhood works, if that makes sense.
Okay.
They're
like, it's part of a cycle. It's the death side of the cycle.
It's like the death side of, like, dealing with Sithis. Like, the idea, Sithis, big, bad, creepy, whatever. But the thing is, it's, you're sending the souls to Sithis. It's not overtly like, okay, we're just yes, they're murderers, but it's more for a purpose. It feels like it's got that type of vibe to it, but it doesn't feel like a Sithis pull to me, is my problem with that.
Yeah, so, okay, so let's start with the soul matron. So she's very, very focused on souls, and she's the matron of the souls. Like, she's the one who, and it seems like there's a sense of, sometimes the souls don't have somewhere specific to go.
Yep.
Right. Like, sometimes an individual pledges their allegiance to a Daedric Prince, and the Daedric Prince collects their soul when they're done. Sometimes they go to Aetherius through some sort of path, like the Nords through Sovereign Guard or something like that. And so the souls make their ways back to something beyond the Mundus. Right. But it seems like there are some souls that just get lost. They just disappear. They get lost. And so
they're stuck in the soul, Karen.
Right. So like Luigi in a ghost manner, she's going around vacuuming up all the souls.
All right. So you're saying it's Luigi.
She's basically, Luigi's mansion.
Beautiful.
And Luigi in the mansion. And she's collecting all the souls and bringing them back to where they go. And this is necessary because everything came from something, including souls, which we talked about is connected to flesh, the breath of the flesh element. And that allows for the creation of flesh, the creation of beings in the Mundus. And so when those beings are done and they fall back into their parts, the soul has to go somewhere. And the soul needs to be recollected in order to fulfill the cycle so that the next cycle can begin and the souls can be reemerge and be
recycled.
Yeah. Which really creates some interesting questions here about, well, if the souls are being cycled, can somebody, like, then really you're just being reborn. There's a death and, like, reborn kind of, but are you reborn as yourself, your new version in the next cycle? Or, like, can it be like, I don't know, like I mentioned Hinduism, like,
sure,
if you die as a human, you didn't have a good life, can you come back as, like, a toad?
Sure.
I don't know.
Are you a skeever going forward? Or are you a squid? A
skeever? Yeah. So, I mean, that's another question a few steps beyond this. But what this seems to imply is that this is her place. She is the deliverer of souls. She is the one who safeguards them and collects them and makes sure that they have somewhere to go. So there you go. I think that one's fairly clear. And at the very end, it says, and by her will, the discs continue to swirl, right? It's the souls are a necessary element in order to keep things rotating or keep the cycle repeating.
Something that I want to just shout out, NS Nick, actually, it's something that I think just brought up in chat that I kind of like as a reference point that I guess I didn't really think of, because, like I said, I even though I mentioned, like, the weird Sithis connection, but I didn't think it related to that. It was more just like it had parallels to it, but it didn't feel like it was where they were going with that, or at least that's not what I think it's going to. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to think about, because souls have qualities in the series, mm-hmm, when you think about it.
Yeah.
So, like, there are grand soul gems, common soul gems,
white souls,
like,
and black souls.
White souls and black souls. Mm-hmm. So on that idea, what Nick brought up was the fact that it's like, well, would they break down and become a lesser soul? That's actually an interesting idea, just based on the quality of those, in the idea of, using the reincarnation idea. It seems like you might be kind of tethered into your, like, are you in a soul bracket?
Right. Or are you like drops of rain collecting in the ocean?
Right. So like, that's exactly it. To Nick's point, like, okay, well, does some of your soul fall off and now you're a lesser, like, are you now three scribs? Like, so like,
right.
But right. You know what I mean? Like, was that, well, we'll just say this person was a black soul gem, which is the equivalent of like a grand soul gem. Okay. They break down and now they're a crocodile, a bear, and I don't know, a saber cat.
Which would be super weird, because souls seem to retain consciousness. In the series, when you come across a disembodied soul, it still thinks it's the person it was.
Right. And I mean, we know that ghosts are in the series. So yeah, there's these lingering versions of
lost souls. This section here where it says Ayanna Lore rescues souls blank and no destination. I bet it says something like souls that are lost and have no destination or something like that.
And,
right.
And then, you know, if we'll just say whoever this random person is who died and now has become, you know, three scribs, I use those three scribs to like power my sword. It's like, well, now where have the sword? Like, it's such a weird idea just because of souls. We talked about it when we were talking about the ideal masters. Souls almost are a form of physical currency in this world as well.
Right. Or energy that's different from magicka.
Right. It's just soul magic is different than just like magicka type of deal. So yeah, this is again one of those ones that's strange.
Might make necromancy even worse. Right? Like necromancy is already a bad thing. You're also like making use of bodies that have died. You're playing with souls. You're reimbuing souls in different things. You're taking your own soul and putting it into another place in order to make sure that you can live on as a lich. You know, there's all this other weird stuff. But if you are actually like taking souls and manipulating them in really weird ways, that gets even worse because it's not just like, there's my grandma now marching in this lich's army. You know, no, grandma's also powering his staff and she's crammed in there with a bunch of other people. And
So this one has like, again, this is one of the ones where I feel like there's a lot of interesting parts of other things, but I don't really have a concrete understanding of this one too much. Is so much as like, yeah, there's a little of this I feel, and a little of this, and a little of this, and it's just like this is another one that's these ones are a little more abstract for the most part, I feel.
So NS Nick says in chat, grandma is an amulet now, which that is, makes me think of the question for you, Lotus. If you had a loved one that was about to pass away, but you knew that they weren't going to go on to Aetherius, would you learn the magic to put them in a soul gem and then just like keep them with you?
Oh, that'd be fun. I could make them into gauntlets.
Yeah, or like an amulet. You just like wear grandma around your neck and then keep her close to your heart. You know?
Grandma's with me always.
Literally with me always.
Literally with me always.
Yeah. Except for, you know, sexy times with the wife. Grandma has to go in the other room on that.
Grandma goes in the drawer at that point. But on that less disturbing part of that comment, it's interesting because like whether or not they would feel like okay in that scenario is also something, because there's all sorts of different versions in the series of people kind of being transferred around as soul currency and things.
Yeah.
Not all of them sound very pleasant. In fact, most of them sound rather unpleasant.
Right. Oh, we did. I mean, I remember we did episodes on all sorts of weird ways that like in speculation about how souls work. I think it's one of those things that's still open to a lot of interpretation.
Sure. Right. Yeah. So,
yeah. Well, there you go. Those are the three other Star Orphans that we didn't cover in the first one. Last one, of course, Aethelia. We already covered that. So go check that out if you want to know. But long story short, we don't actually know what her real name is. It's not like she has one of these dash names. It's probably just Aethel-Ia.
Aethel and then Ia
something like that, right?
Sure, we'll go with that.
But she's the Prime Archon. So whenever you hear Prime Archon, that's who she is. She was the firstborn of this group. She's the queen of Fates Unwritten. And because all of these have something to do with primordial reality and the way just reality works in general, she has to do specifically with this idea of like the potential possibilities of where things can go. And isn't too happy when, somebody like Akazosh comes along and is like, nope, this is reality. This is time. It only moves in this direction. And she's like, wait a minute.
Straight lines. That's all we deal with.
Right. So cool. Well, we're through this stuff. We'll be covering some other really interesting episodes on some future episodes. Also, we have the patron chat coming up next week. Let's see.
It's already next week.
The 23rd. So that'll be the 30th next week. So if you want to join us for that, you can. But that's going to do it for the main part of the show. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to go thank our patrons and we'll do some like end of the show chat. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn. You are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls lore cast.
All right, here we are. This is the end of the show. We usually do this in the middle. We're doing these at the end now. And we have to shout out our newest patron, Nicholas D. Thank you for signing up on the Patreon. So glad that you are here. And our Daedric Princes get shout outs every week. Blinding Vision, Hercene, Kiracy, Little Seizures, and Peter R. I'm still not used to that name yet. thank you for your support. Patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast is where you can go sign up and join us. You can get audio ad-free episodes there. I haven't put video episodes up yet, but I might. Maybe that'll be a thing if we have. The YouTube channel's been growing, so if you want video episodes, let me know. We'll figure out how to get that working and not too confusing, and people won't get mixed up on the feeds and all that. I think there's a way to do it so that it actually pulls the audio from the video version in order for you to use either on the RSS feed. I don't know. I'll have to look into it.
Yeah. I've never tried doing that before.
Yeah, I'll have to look into it, but it might be a thing. And if enough of our now video viewers are interested, then that could be a thing. Just let me know. Comment below. If you're still here at the end of the episode, comment below. Let me know if that's a thing, and I'll see if I can take care of it. Also, if you'd like to help out in other ways, you can rate the show on Apple Podcasts. If you leave a 5-star review, we'll read it out on a future episode. We don't have any other ones of those this week, but thank you to everybody who does that.
We have lots of stars. You just don't say anything, so I'll just assume you like it, or you're just accidentally clicking too many stars, but I appreciate that too.
Yeah, 5 stars on Spotify would be great. Liking and subscribing to the channel would be great. It's amazing what small percentage of people actually subscribe. It's kind of crazy. I know I do the same thing where it's like YouTube just recommends channels and I'm like, oh wait, I've watched like a dozen videos.
I do that all the time where I'm like 13 videos into something. It was like, oh, that was a great series. I actually haven't been following this at all.
Right. I'll happen to just like glance down and be like, why does this still say I can subscribe? I never subscribed. I thought I was subscribed. Yeah. So that happens. But thank you everybody for your support, and jump on the Discord, join us there. And then also we have to do our random UESP page of the day. These are always fun. All right, you ready for this one, Lotus?
I'm really hoping it's bizarre.
This is not super bizarre. It's a little weird.
It's the exact. Is it hyper mundane?
it's somewhere between bizarre and mundane. Okay. It's a mount, but it's not a typical mount. So there you go. From ESO, the Hollow Soul Steed. So the Hollow Soul Steed is available. Let me see if I can pull this up on the screen.
I actually don't know what this is.
If you look on the stream, you can see it. Yeah, so there you go. There's a quote at the top.
Heck?
Yeah. There's a quote at the top that says, "The great expanse between the planes of the Arbus is endless night, the outer darkness of the void." We just talked about the void. "Some few things, blessedly few things, live in this endless nothingness, and they are strange beyond imagination." There's a quote from Azander Al.
Oh, it's Azander. It's your companion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's Azander.
I always have a hard time reading these names.
I know. No, it's just good. Yeah. Azander. Yeah.
So this is a Hollow Soul Steed. It's available as a reward in one of the crates that you can get. And so that's why it looks so wacky and weird.
I was going to say, I don't hate that, but that's a little too high fantasy for me.
Yeah. This is not going to fit on the screen if I show it, but go look it up. It's got some like purple glowy bits around the outside. It's very weird looking. It's like,
yeah, that is bizarre. I'm not sure I've ever. I wonder if this is like super rare or something. I don't ever remember seeing anybody running around with this, or I guess maybe I don't pay enough attention to that.
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to make more of it go on the screen so you can see more. It's still not working. Anyway, I'm going to stop messing with that. But there you go. That's our random page of the day. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Lotus, you have anything else you want to share before we head out?
No, not really. Just ideally we'll be recording another episode of Tales of Tamriel this weekend, just to cover some of actually, since the last episode was sort of the news on the reveals from the update 45 that just is in PTS for Elder Scrolls Online right now. Last episode was kind of news based, and we didn't really have time to do our usual Tales segment, so next show is probably going to be more just like us chatting about what we did in game. And coming up, we don't have an exact date yet. I'm working on it just because my scheduling is not so great as of late. We're going to be doing our, I guess you could call it, year end chapter
summary that we do, our review. Mm-hmm. Usually we do it right before the new year, but because anybody who follows Elder Scrolls Online knows they're trying to change things up this year, we didn't get our reveal in January. It's actually not coming until April.
Yeah, we got some like hints about things they're working on and some like, hey, and these are definitely things we're working on. They're on the PTS, but then like that's about it.
And to be fair, it's also a situation where it kind of gave us a little more time to like, okay, well, we don't need to just conclude the year with this. We can kind of let this go a little bit. I was curious to see if we would get any, I know the reveal is not until April, but I didn't know if we'd get any nudges as to maybe where they're going with the story, because honestly, waiting to see what's on the horizon now, because
I would be surprised if there anything's too story focused for a little
that's
while.
Kind of it. So
I don't think
I,
that we're getting much of a extra story
it,
thing this year.
I'm curious with the change in that direction, but as a result, we kind of held off a little bit on our chapter review or year in review, especially because the last 2 years have all been one continuous story. So there's a lot to kind of cover. And that's when I always like to have friends of the show, Avron Doodles, as well as TES Benefactor join. And we just kind of go real deep, super spoily, and just kind of dive into all of the stuff so that we can discuss it and people can, you know, finally get to vent all of their ideas and stuff like that without worrying about ruining it for anybody else. It's spoilerific.
Nice. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I'll look forward to that. I should make a mental note to tune in on that one. I bounce between a number of different shows, you know, so like my commutes to, you know, I take my son to school and things like that. I'm listening to it now. So I'll need to make a mental note to specifically look for that so I don't accidentally miss it. Cool. Yeah, go check out Tales of Tamriel if you're into ESO. Lots of cool ESO stuff over there. I've got a bunch of other shows, the Fallout Lorecast, the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the Robots Radio Podcast Network. If you want to check out all the other shows on the network, you can go check that out. But final thoughts, we were hoping today to get a Oblivion remake announcement from Microsoft during their Microsoft presentation. That didn't happen. So some speculation here. I've got two speculations. I've got one, well, three, two about Oblivion, one about something else. Either they're not still working on it and it's not going to be a thing, but it was going to be a thing at one point, or they're still working on it and we might get a reveal, say June, for like a holiday season release, so that Bethesda has another kind of major sort of release coming out then. It also gives them more time to kind of polish it up, make it as fancy and new and remakey as possible. That might be a thing. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on if you think that's still going to be a thing. Sky Oblivion's still probably going to be a thing this year, potentially. So maybe there's some just making sure that they, you know, really, really hold up their end of the bargain so they don't get like outshone by a bunch of mod creators. So maybe that's a thing. But then you also mentioned how there's speculation about like what's going on with ESO and the change from doing regular chapters, and is there going to be story stuff this year? What if we know, okay, so we know that Bethesda has been, or not Bethesda, ZeniMax Online Studios has been working on another MMO. They were hiring for it like 6 or 7 years ago. They've been working on this for a while.
Long time running.
What if this is part of restructuring to keep ESO going with smaller, more regular updates, but not the big like chapter stuff, in order to put all hands on deck in order to finish whatever this MMO is, and it gets a big announcement this summer?
Interesting.
And I'm not saying this, I don't have any inside knowledge about this. This is all speculation on my part. I probably am totally wrong, but if I am accurate, don't come back to me later and be like, Tom spilled the beans. I don't know.
That NDA that you didn't know about.
I'm not on any NDA. I'm just like, I like to speculate about things in the future. I think it's always fun, especially like with games and movies and things. You know, I always want to be like, oh, I want to see if I can predict what's going to happen in the next Avengers movie or, you know, whatever. So it's
I do appreciate the fact that, like, I don't know, I'd say probably a good 85% of the time I'm totally off the mark with that stuff.
Oh yeah. And I mean you've heard some of our predictions of the past. Oh, we like to take absolutely wild swings. Yes.
And it is funny though, because the couple times I've hit
anything has always been like, huh, that really looks like I totally knew something that I absolutely didn't know. But in context of how much other stuff I missed, it's really obvious that that was just total luck that I got even close to that one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So let us know your thoughts on that. Send us some comments. Jump on the Discord. Let us know your thoughts. And thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll be back next week with our patrons. So that's coming up. And until then, stay safe out there with all these weird godlike beings collecting your souls and all sorts of stuff. So we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.